Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name's Blue. Alongside me is Joe Grande and the Pot Brothers at Law, Mark and Craig Wasserman. And we are the number one source for everything cannabis. Joe?
Yes, we are, Mr. Christopher Wright. It's good to sit next to you again.
It's good to be
back. Hopefully Mark and Craig will join us shortly. But thank you guys for listening to the podcast all around the world. We just heard 140 different countries.
Yes!
Thank you very much for as we expand and grow with everybody. If you ever want to give us a call, and I don't care what country you're in, please feel free to. It's a 1-800 number. It's 800-420-1980. And make sure you check out our website, Cannabis Talk 101, as we are the world's number one source for everything cannabis. And on social media, at Cannabis Talk 101, at Pot underscore Brothers underscore at underscore Law. Mark is at Waslaw. Craig is at Waslaw Dog. Blue is at One Christopher Wright.
Hello.
And I am at Joe Grande 52. And Blue, before we get the show started, I actually had a note here to bring up that.
Uh-oh.
It is actually a real actually. It's a real sad one. And I just want to give a shout out to, and a moral of the story to this shout out. We had one of our crew members at MJ BizCon, we were leaving, and one of our crew members who shuttles some of the stuff from venue to venue, they had a car, their truck break down. They got out of the truck.
Well, the truck actually got wind, blew it over, and it completely turned on its side, blew everything out.
So one of our members, Matthew Tamkin, 24 years old from Pasadena, gets hit by a drunk driver and passed away. And, you know, and I just wanted to say to Matthew Tamkin's family, you know, we love you. And if there's anything we could do for you guys, I know it's so hard for you guys, but he was a part of the team, part of the family, and Pitt, that was the guy that we helped lift up the thing with. And I know you remember who he was, and he's been very, very helpful at so many events. But the moral of the story, you guys, is please don't go drinking and driving.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's just, it's real. You know, it's not like, oh, is it the fucking fifth drink that gets you drunk? No, folks, it's so cliche, but it's the first. Don't drink and drive, folks, period. It's not the first one that matters. I only drink two. I don't know exactly what that answer is for folks, but I do know this answer, and it's real. I know if you don't drink one and drive, you won't drink and drive and kill anyone. That's what I know to be fact.
You know,
I don't know if it's three drinks that get you drunk or four drinks. I know this for a fact. If you don't drink and drive, we won't have accidents like this happen in life, and we won't lose team members like we just lost. So, you know, that's my PSA for the day.
And I want to share with you like just how silly this was, because, you know, the night was just starting to come, and the guy hadn't turned on his lights yet. And he's driving. They say he was going about 150 miles an hour, and the police were there on the scene. I mean, there was literally a truck turned over in the street there, and this guy's, you know, he dodges over and then comes, slides into to the emergency lane and hits this young man. And he just kept driving, right? And as he kept driving, he was going so fast, the police just radioed it in because they're like, they couldn't even get to their cars. And this guy parks, you know, a mile and a half down the road and starts walking back to the scene, and then finally gets back to the scene as the cops have already deployed ambulance and everything else to save this gentleman. And he walks up and he goes, "Did I hit something?" I mean,
are you kidding me right now? I didn't hear this part of the story.
I'm so dead serious. Dude, that, and I thought it was important to say that, like, you know, this is how intoxicated this man was, and how, you know, ignorant he was to do something like this. And, you know, I know that, you know, it's like, you know, I look at it in two ways when something like this happens. One, someone became a killer, you know, and will serve time in prison. And another person, you know, has lost his life, and then other people have lost their loved ones. And it's such a huge collateral damage that, you know, it is so important that the message gets out there. And, you know, don't get intoxicated and get behind a wheel. It's you're operating a vehicle, and it, God knows it wasn't intentional, probably, right?
No, I'm not going to think for a half second it was intentional. No one has intention. And I know a lot of us, and I'm no saint by no means. I drink and drive more times than I could tell you.
Yeah.
And knock on wood that I never got into an accident or killed anybody. But this day and age, folks, there's just so many outlets. Uber, all this, you know, Lyfts. Yeah. It's just so easy to get around and get your car back again.
Well, as you say that, though, you're also 23 years sober, and I like to remind people that when they hear us and this, we talk about the things that we've done, and but reminding them that, you know, you're also 23 years sober, and, you know, it's like one night of fun, you know, could ruin your life forever.
Be the last night of fun.
Yeah, it could ruin your life forever, change your life, and change others and impact others. And with that being said, I also want to say tomorrow's Veterans Day. You know, and for all the veterans out there, thank you. We appreciate
hands
you guys.
Down, salute.
You guys, yeah, you guys give us security in our homes to this day. You know, it's a thankless job. You know, you guys are the best, and thank you for your service out there, guys. And also, a lot of you guys are going through, you know, issues. Veterans, you know, have PTSD, and a lot of them that we work with, like the Weed for Warriors, and there's so many different outfits out there that are out. Our buddy Doc Ray. There's amazing people that are helping this industry grow and helping the veteran community out there. And so thank you all for your support, guys. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, and as we do a lot of things. And I want to get into a quick one right now as we change gears a little bit. Once again, though, shout out to Matthew Tamkin, 24 years old from Pasadena. We lost you way too young. We love you and send the best to your family.
May you rest in peace.
Yes, that being said, let's get back to the show and let you know of a story, Blue, that's definitely going green, making waves and cannabis news all in the same. And it's all about Iron Mike, folks. That's right. Mike Tyson takes another hit at the cannabis industry, but now he's joining Columbia Care. Mike Tyson's love for cannabis is no secret. He's always been loud and proud about it ever since he's gotten into the game, and it's changed his life. And he's said if it wasn't for cannabis, you know, he wouldn't be alive.
Sure.
But now the heavyweight champion will have an opportunity to channel his passion into dollar signs with the debut of Tyson 2.0. That exactly makes you cough like you just took a hit of it. In partnership with Columbia Care, Inc., one of the nation's largest cannabis distributors. So he's taken his cannabis to the bigger farm, bigger everything. Tyson will wear the hat of the company's chief brand officer, while the company will be led by co-founder and chairman Chan Bronstein and CEO Adam Wilkes. Chad Bronstein, why does that name sound familiar?
It's Chad.
Do we know that guy?
You know Chad.
Do I know Chad?
Yeah. Karen and Chad and...
Okay, well, maybe it's Chan and I said Chad. Either way, Bronstein sounds familiar. Wait, we're in L.A. All these lawyers out here, Bronstein, maybe that's why it sounds familiar. Either way, but that's who he's hooking up with. And one of the quotes from the new CEO, he says, "I got to know Mike as an entrepreneur and investor, and it was clear to me that his relationship with cannabis was a crucial component in his own life. We saw the opportunity to create Tyson 2.0 and develop brands and products nationally," says Bronstein in a press release. So, you know, we've heard a lot about Tyson's farm and California, of course, being the mecca of cannabis. We hear so much. And if you're listening around the world, because we have the Emerald Triangle, because cannabis, you would think, that's what's funny that you say that though, Blue, because guess what? In my head, if you were to say mecca of cannabis, roll the dice real quick and say, Jamaica. Why not?
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, why not Jamaica be the mecca of cannabis?
Well, so I mean, distribution, you know, from Jamaica to the United States is very
difficult. But my point is, but, you know, I'm just saying.
Mexico,
but,
when it comes to me, it's Mexico, right?
And so I like to think of Mexico as it, but still California.
But you know, when I say that, when you say that, if you told me in the 80s, 90s, you know, I would say it was Mexico because, you know, they were producing cannabis. And that's why I always tell people, like, don't forget where it comes from. You know, a lot of people tend to think that, you know, it comes from here, it comes from there. And I will always say to people, it's called marijuana before anything, you know. And one of the first names out there for cannabis was marijuana. And that was because, you know, our ancestors in Mexico and throughout the southern states or countries, I'm sorry, would definitely produce more cannabis and bring it into the states, you know. And that is often forgot because of how you know, the story's told.
I'm curious on your thought process, because growing up myself, I didn't feel like Mexico was the Mecca. Where did you feel that way growing up because of your family's history?
I'm just saying,
because your fucking family sold so much weed that you got it from Mexico. No, and I'm being serious. Well, so as I say that, because in my head, you ready for this? Because in my head, I looked at Mexican weed as the big, bulky weed, right? And I looked at when I got the killer weed. Right. And I grew up in the Bay Area. So in the Bay Area, we would definitely know when we got that killer Humboldt, like it was just so close to us. Or this is from San Francisco, right? And when you get weed from somebody growing from San Jose, don't get me wrong, we had some good weed from San Jose as well with a lot of local growers and this and that. But my point is, I only imagine, because I just want to go on your thought process, sure, that's how you thought that, you know, growing up for you, you said you thought it was Mexico.
I still do.
Think it was Mexico, and I don't feel that way. Well, how is it that you thought that way?
Well, let's go back to history, right? And let's start talking about things that are very prevalent, like, you know, Rick Ross, right? And all the pounds of marijuana that they've
was he getting
in.
It from the cartel in Mexico?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. And so was the gentleman's that was we just seen at the event the other night that just got out for 30 years in prison. You know, our dear friend of the show, I can't remember his name. But
anyone?
Tim.
Oh, everyone's
we're about to find
a brain
it.
Fart. Anyways, whatever. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So these men were not, you know, producing, you know, cannabis in California and moving it across the states. No, they were picking it up in the southern countries like Cuba, Mexico, and throughout the.
And do you think that was like hundreds of thousands of pounds coming up, millions of pounds? Because you got to realize too, though, which I know you do.
Well, we're talking about kilos.
I mean, you got to realize a lot of came from the forest over here too, though.
It's minute.
So, small amount come from there, absolutely. Bigger amounts come shipped in.
Well, think about it, right? Think about Northern California, and then think about Mexico, and all the fields, right?
And that's why I'm saying to you, because I actually think of what you're saying, and I go, and look at myself going, damn, I think you're right,
well,
right?
So it's making me change my mind,
but I didn't think that way.
Well, because, again, the story...
So I hear what you're saying and agree,
being,
actually.
The story's being washed under the rug, right? Because, there was, and this is my opinion, is that the government and people were involved in these transactions. So now they're like, oh, yeah, the focus is in Northern California. That's where the big grows were at, right? No, it wasn't. That was the kind bud, right? That was the minute amount
the good
of
weed that was just coming in from Cali, but getting moved around a little bit. But the masses were coming from the boats.
The boats, right? They're coming from the planes, and they were dropping out kilos of cocaine and cannabis out the thing.
So
we're talking about, like, you know, it's not even equal valued at all. I mean,
let me ask you this. This is a good question for you that we've never asked. Did you bring in alleged? Well, it's a long time ago. Did you see and know of more weed coming in to California from Canada,
man,
or California? Because I know you got your Canada connected. Look at this motherfucker. Look at him. He said, you guys should have seen this fool's face, you guys, because he didn't let me finish the question.
Yeah.
And because I know your Canada connection, and we know Canada's huge too. So as you said growing up, though, you felt like Mexico was the spot that the weed came in. And I'm surprised, to be honest with you, that you didn't say Canada only because of the war stories
Canada,
I've heard that come out of your mouth.
So quite frankly, in my opinion, Canada had way more than Northern California popping too.
I think both of those make sense to me of what you're saying, and it changes my perspective.
Sure.
That's why I'm going there, because maybe a lot of people look at in this perspective as well, going, what do you mean? The Emerald Triangle has, and that's how I thought.
Yeah, well,
shout out to... But then as you think about it, and as you say that, you're right, the bigger shipments come in from out of the state, country.
Well, shout out to my boy Black Hockey and shit out of Canada. You know, did some serious time for for this plant that we all learn to know and love now, and that's legalized, you know. And I would say that, you know, when we start to look at what's really happening, you know, in the industry, right? So Canada had a huge hand in what was coming across the borders, right? And so did Mexico. And in fact, most of the California is the landing spot. The reason California was the landing spot is because there was a triangle, right? And I actually been indicted for this, and I was never charged, and thank God I wasn't. But I've got a letter from the feds and saying that, hey, you were involved in a indictment that had, you know, a conspiracy ring from Mexico to California into Canada back into Mexico, right? But thankfully, they were focused on the cocaine and all the other drugs that were involved, and versus the cannabis that was involved in that. And I'm sure that they saw that my position in it, or whatever investigations at whatever time, it worked out well for me, you know. But you have to know that you know, traditionally, the way that I've seen it as a young man, and I understand the world of this cannabis industry, is that it came in from Mexico. It came in from Canada. And then the money was made here in California because it was shipped to all the other states. And then the money was moved into Canada, and then from Canada back into Mexico.
Oh, that makes sense. Now, that being said, though, answer this question, which you haven't answered yet.
Allegedly.
Where have you seen personally
the most come from?
Mexico.
You know.
Really? See, I thought you were going to say Canada.
No, that's so funny. I would see more quality come from Canada.
But you've seen more bulk of cannabis come from Mexico.
Oh, my God, dude. I mean, you see this room we're in? You know, just boxed out, right? I mean, you're talking about packs. I mean, you know, in fact, my boy Grant, that just got out of prison, you know, very, very recently, you know, I think he got caught with, you know, 580 kilos of cannabis, you know, just pulling into Long Beach here, right? So you think about the masses of production of cannabis, and you really start thinking about, like, how much brick weed was out there. When you start thinking about that,
those bricks were crazy.
I mean, they were pounds, right? They were floating around everywhere, right?
And we used to get those in San Jose all the time.
And now, if you ask me, you know, there was a point where I know this. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this break.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. So listen, I would say this, dude, is that, you know, through the process of what's happening, you know, from the States and seeing what's going on, everybody's going to want to forget about, you know, the big movements that were happening in cannabis. And right now, like I would tell you right now, if you ask me, there's more activity in Northern California and Southern California than there's ever been. That's actually ruined the cartel's business. Like you're
talking. Oh yeah, they're pissed. Well, not only that, Mexico has been told for the cartels get their shit together because it's coming legal over there. So right. They had to change their whole game and they're making so much money shipping that out.
Well, now we're seeing people take cannabis from California into Mexico.
And they're asking for it,
too. They're asking for it,
Mexico's
right?
literally asking folks, hey, what brands want to come here?
This has never happened in history, right? It's always been the other way around. Everybody's brought everything to California. Now there's so much cannabis that people are moving it into Mexico. They're moving it throughout the United States from here, which is completely illegal, by the way. It's federally illegal anytime you cross any borders, right? So it's very important that somebody knows when you...
Did you say it's legal or
it's
illegal?
Illegal.
That's what I thought. I thought I heard legal.
It's completely...
I just want to make sure the audience hears it right.
No, and so I'll even tell you, as far as I've had conversations with, you know, people from different countries and say, hey, listen, you know, we can work with the embassy. We have the ability to move cannabis from here to the embassy, from the embassy into our country. And it's like, okay, cool. How do you want to do that? Well, why don't you just fly it into Mexico? Then we'll get it from Mexico where they'll greet you with the embassy and then they'll take you from there. And it's like, no, dude, those guys are all getting popped. You know what I'm saying? There's no, like, this isn't a free ride into Mexico. You can't just move cannabis in there. But why is Mexico focusing on getting the cannabis here is because the quality is different, right? So their infrastructure is an outdoor infrastructure. So come October, there was masses of pounds of cannabis being produced at $250 a pound.
Croptober, baby.
Croptober, dude. You're talking 250. The best they were at for $425 a pound, but it went down to 250. Then it got down to $125 a pound for cannabis.
Shut up.
Dude, 100%, man. And so you get,
That's stupid. What would you flip that at?
What do you mean? L.A. Well, right.
And then would you sell for $1,000?
Well, it comes into L.A., right? And then, you know, this guy takes 10, this guy takes 50, this guy takes 1,000, this guy takes 50. And then it's moved into Ohio. And then it's moved into, you know, Florida. It's moved into all these other states. Florida didn't have, you know, they had a good activity. But, you know, a lot of these other states, Texas, all that stuff, they were smoking.
So it all, Mexico.
Sesame, right?
Yeah,
the OG,
the good old,
you know.
Cess.
And so that cannabis right there, in my opinion, is the real beginning of history where this starts, because you again in Mexico and Colombia
and the bricks and the bricks of the weed, those
were
it, that's where it started,
and there was so
and it was good weed. It tasted like, so you're like, oh, and then yeah. People were called that bammer weed in the Bay Area. You go,
it was
don't
bammer.
Give me that bammer weed.
Yeah.
We don't
and
smoke
so,
that
but
shit
think
in the SFC.
The Bay Area wasn't capable of producing and
to push out to the world like that,
and neither was anywhere in California. We weren't able to.
You could push out a lot from those triangles,
but Mexico, you could bring it in California, move it throughout the United States.
Let me ask you something that you brought up that I'm curious, because you elaborated on this, and I feel like I'm interviewing you, but I want to pick your brain more because this was so intriguing, and you said allegedly. So allegedly, when you said the money would come into California, into Canada, and then to Mexico, allegedly, how would that work? Would they carry it in bags? Would they buy things? Like, what is your history know?
So on the ends of, in Canada, right, there's these massive trails, okay? And so just like in, you know, you hear about people trying to get across the border in Mexico and they die in the
right,
desert
right, right.
out there. Well, so in Canada, they have these parts of where there's water, you know, and it comes down to water, and then you just, there's a little quick hop, skip, and a jump, and you're in the United States or you're in Canada. I mean, it's that close. I mean,
Right. You're borderline in Oregon right there, Washington. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
You could almost skip a rock, yeah. Right? So there's also a lot of ravines and little back trails that take you into that space. So just like, you know, a coyote would try and get an immigrant.
Sorry, I just heard coyote.
Yeah, that's the wolf pack, bro. But yeah, let's rock.
I'm still in Halloween mode. You can't do that. You can't do that.
No, but so the the California, you know, similar to someone trying to get across the border into Mexico, right? Which is a lot more heavily.
So you would have to go across the border from California to Canada and sneak the money in?
Correct. Yeah. And so they would use ATVs and they use, you know,
boats. Just big hockey bags full of cash.
Yeah.
And then how would they go from that same way from there to Mexico?
And same way into Mexico.
Canada
to
Mexico.
But it's easier to go. It's easier for someone to leave Canada and get into Mexico. It's easier for you to leave California and get into the Mexico border than it is for you to cross. So I can cross right now into, you know,
Mexico. TJ, real quick.
But if you're trying to get from Mexico to here, you can't. So I could just drive it across. I could drive cash.
That's what I'm saying. Why would they go from California to Canada to Mexico? Why not from California straight to Mexico?
Because when you're crossing into California from Canada, there's a whole different ballgame. You're trying to come into California, baby.
Oh, so now you're leaving Mexico back into California and it's easier?
If you're going into Canada, right, if you're in Canada and you're trying to go into Mexico, it's easy. You just drive up and go. There's a stop sign. If you happen to get stopped, you don't. There's nobody.
But it's kind of the same thing from California into Mexico, too, though.
No.
California
into
Mexico,
into
it's
Mexico,
easier to get in.
No, but hold on. Again, you're missing the point, right? Because you're not seeing the circle, right? If you're in, if from you trying to come into Canada right now, it ain't a walk in the park. Canadians can't just walk in here, bro.
So that's why I'm even more confused on why the money trail would go that way.
So hold on a second. Where's all the weed coming from?
Mexico or Canada?
So the Mexico weed comes in. All the weed comes in from Mexico, right? So they need their money back.
Period. Cartel sitting there.
Someone needs their money back, right? So that money would go into California, right? Then they would move it into
Canada.
Canada, and then from Canada walk right into Mexico.
Oh, because there's no reason to go back.
But now, if you're in Canada and you want to walk into Mexico, it's no problem. But if you're in Canada and you want to walk into California, you got a problem.
Isn't that funny? Canadians, they couldn't even come to all these events.
No.
I'm having Canadians have a hard time getting to G4 Live, which, by the way, is in May.
In Mexico, if you want to walk into California, you can't either. But if we want to walk into Mexico, it's no problem.
Isn't that weird?
We could turn around and walk right. Well, it is.
Canadians can't get in. And not only that, Canadians working in the cannabis game, they can't even come out here for certain things. They got to have fake businesses.
So again, it was easier to get into Canada, right? And again, and these are the stories, the legends of being told, you know, the things that I've heard about. You know, this is nothing that I've been doing myself at any means.
You didn't have to. No one's listening. Did you ever do that? You know, look at me. No one's listening.
I know about it enough to be dangerous. You know, I've been around this industry my entire life. And again, you know, when we talk about why this story's been erased, you know, it goes back into indigenous people, it goes back into minorities, it goes back into, you know, the government was involved, you know, and in my opinions, you know, do I think that, you know, the government had their hands in the
CIA,
they have
their hands in fucking everything,
the military. I mean, you have to think
when they start the war on drugs, they make money for this, they make money for that. They can't really stop it, because then if they stop it, they lose the money for all the stuff that they're funding to stop it. And then if they stop that, they're losing all the money for the rehab centers that they created, the Betty Ford centers, the this and that.
Yeah.
So you're right. Their hands are in it in different ways. It's like the mob in Vegas. They created the concrete company and the trash.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. They're not the guy with the backpack running across the fucking border. But there's funding behind
it. They're capitalizing on it all.
There's people that know that are involved. And here's the perfect example, ready? Is that the military, there was a point where the military was getting, taking dead bodies, and they were transporting, and this is documented facts, they were transporting, you know, drugs inside their soldiers, you know.
Backpacks or gear?
Tanks? Tombstones.
Oh, shut up.
So when they would die, they had
to put in tombstones. Oh, I seen that in like Vietnam or some shit like that too. I remember seeing that story.
So they're moving drugs in that stuff, right? They're moving money in those things. So, you know, it's a very unfortunate tale. But here's the reality. Even as a good person, right? You know, you get put up against opportunity, and you might start taking risk. I mean, we all have that. You know, that click. And there's very few people, not very few. There's a lot of people that won't. That, you know, that are great people out there that are just like, no, I'm not going to do anything illegal to jeopardize anything or in gray areas or anything like that. But there's a lot of people that see it as opportunity and go, gosh, man, I could really use this to help myself get out of the position I'm in. And many have.
And take care of families. And a lot of the cartels, they take care of the whole communities out there.
Well, look at some
it's
of these
funny
guys.
And crazy,
like,
to think.
These guys have built whole communities
over
it.
It's just trippy.
The whole country's built
It's such
over.
A double-edged sword sometimes when you think, oh, look at the cartel. They're killing, they're doing, and they're also
not
doing
good
things.
Good, not saying it's bad. I'm just giving
facts,
information.
These are stories.
Just giving information.
And to wrap up Mike Tyson, you guys, he's ready to conquer the new chapter that he's starting with this new launch as this boxer's first company's Tyson Holistic was good. Well, now Tyson 2.0. will feature an expanded selection of products, including coastal-friendly, full-spectrum cannabis flower, concentrates, and consumables. So congratulations to Iron Mike. I'm Joe Grande. That's your Go Green moment. I want to tell you guys it's brought to you by Viscus Vape, the ultimate cannabis vape experience. Viscus is a premium vape brand born in Venice Beach, delivering the maximum potency that you can expect from the Viscus brand. Live the ride with the most pleasant-tasting, ultra-potent, and super-smooth cartridges on the market. Check out the website, viscus.life. We'll be right back with Blue and Making Waves.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Take a hit, get lit, sit back, and enjoy Cannabis Talk 101 right here with my man, Joe Grande.
Hey, Blue, before we get going, I just want to thank once again the team. You guys have been doing such a great job. Yes. As we've been so busy. Erica, Daniel, I don't know if you're dating, but I love you both. Cal, I don't know if you're dating Daniel or Erica, but I love you as well. Irtizar, Christian, Denny, Kevin, Andrew, Zach, Cash, Cam, Salar, Nadia, and Ali, you guys do a great job on Clubhouse and everything you do. My brother Pitt, I wish I could see you right now. And Chris Franchino, we love you. Jennifer, thank you for all your hard work. And, of course, Elvis, you're in the building, brother. Thank you guys very much.
Elvis!
And why don't you tell everybody about what's going down in May if they don't grow, they don't grow?
Oh, man. Check this out. G4 Live Buttenders Awards going down May 12th through the 14th at Resorts World, guys. And if you don't go, you don't grow. And let me tell you guys, G4 Live is something special. They're actually contributing these events towards the budtenders, and a lot of those budtenders don't really get the credit that they deserve, because if you think about it, they're the front line, right? So when you go into a store and you go purchase your cannabis and you're dealing with somebody, you're actually dealing with the budtender, and the budtender usually has to be the most educated person there. And it's very important, you know, that the budtenders get their kudos and their pats on the backs, and that's why I love G4 Live, Joe.
And not only that, I love the fact that this expo is different than any other expo that I've been to. And let me tell you a few reasons why, folks. If you're like going, should I go to Vegas for that one? What's the difference between that and all
first
the other
expos? First of all, it's at Resorts World.
Yeah. First off, it's at Resort World, right?
So we'll be there.
And that's not a big conference spot like the big expos that we go to. And don't get it twisted, folks. We go to a lot of different expos, right, all over the country. And a lot of them are great. But what I really like about this one is your ticket comes with food. Call me a foodie and a fatty. Call me what you want, you fat bastard, Joe. But the food there was so bomb, and every time I had to find Pitt, I always go by the food and see him eating some food over there, and enough, I'd join him and be like, how long are we breaking before we go back to eat? So the food there was amazing. They had open bars, and not only that, this year, it's out there, folks. Snoop Dogg and Travis Barker are going to be performing at G4 Live, the Budtender Awards. So it's official, like a referee with a whistle. If you don't go, you don't grow. What's going on there and who's making waves?
Well, if you're looking to find out who's making waves in the world of cannabis, Cannabis Talk 101 is the place to be. Now, check this out, guys. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. Again, man, make sure you tell all the veterans that you see how much you love them and appreciate them for everything they've done. With that being said, we decided to get involved with Heroes for Harvest. And, you know, it's very interesting that you know, Immersia, Blacklist, and so many other, you know, intelligent people have got behind this to shut down the city of Long Beach. I mean, we literally got one of the main streets in Long Beach, which is called Pine, completely shut down, guys. And it's going to be off the chain, guys. This is a street festival. And, you know, like on the main stage, you've got House of Vibes, All-Star, you know, just a bunch of Common Sense is performing. You've got different...
Something I need to get.
Boo Johnson's going to be there, which, you know, he's an amazing, amazing, skater, right?
Oh, is that the skater dude? What's his name again?
Boo Johnson.
Oh, and they have a dope skating thing there. It's just going to be a fun event for actually...
It's actually the Boo Johnson skate park, but, I mean, you know, but going through that process, guys, I want to really hone in on something is that, you know, for the cannabis industry to be recognizing the veterans, I think it's super important. You know, there's so many veterans that use cannabis as a medication.
Real true medicine.
Real medication. And I could sit with you and tell you so many stories of just, you know, different people that we've dealt with throughout the years, from the Weed for Warriors to the Docs and the friends that we've built in this
I'm still
industry.
Sad you missed that one interview with this guy we had to where Chris and I earlier were talking about him. And we literally go, what's his name again? Oh, yeah, Badass. He was the baddest dude that we've ever met. And even Chris Franchino was like, no, seriously, that guy was the truth and the real deal. And so are so many other of you heroes out there. You know what I mean?
For real,
I mean,
man.
I'm not just saying that. I just haven't heard your story or their story, whatever. My point is, you guys are the real heroes, and we truly don't just say this to say this. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you notice this when you see me, but every time I see somebody in military gear, airport, grocery store,
I always,
thank you for your service, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Officers,
my kids see me, and even with my kids, I be praying with my kids, and we pray for the soldiers, police officers. I do all that stuff, man. I give praise.
You know, it's important you do, and I'll share you with you some of the stories that I know. It's like, you know, my mom, you know, she's always like, you know, my Uncle Joe, he's a Vietnam veteran, and, you know, my mom's having this...
I have an Uncle Joe that's a vet, too. That's so weird, but sorry.
That's great to know.
And when you said that, I was like, how?
Is he tall?
Is he dark and
tall
handsome?
Tall and skinny?
No,
so, you know, my Uncle Joe, like, my mom has, you know, was talking to me, and she's like, you know, he had moved with his wife out to Mexico to go retire, and then he realized it was very uncomfortable for him. But even at home, he's very, you know, locked the doors, the windows are nailed shut. And my mom's like, I don't know why he lives like that. And I'm like, Mom, he has PTSD.
Exactly.
And she's like,
that's it? After all these years, she didn't figure it out?
After all these years, my mom's like, oh, my God.
He's just a weirdo, mijo. What do you mean?
It's like she didn't realize
A lot of fat cats would think that, though, right? Before they realize the term, PTSD.
Well, people don't realize. I know I have PTSD, right? And so, you know, I'm very much like that. Like, I walk out of my vehicle every day, and I'm like, boom, scan everything around me. I walk in my vehicle, scan everything around me. I walk up the stairs. I walk in my house. I lock my door. I'm very much like that. And I didn't have, diagnose myself until, you know, recently, probably within the last, you know, I'd say 7 or 10 years when we start getting involved in the cannabis industry, hearing these veterans talk, and I'm going, Jesus, that sounds a lot like me. Like, why am I, you know, why do I do that? You know, why am I always feeling like someone's going to kill me? Someone's going to take from me. I've got this feeling, right? And the reason I get that from, and I know where I get it from, is I grew up in a very tough neighborhood. I've had many of my friends murdered, you know, real life. You know, this isn't a game. Like, this is things that I've seen happen. And not a lot of people have felt that or understood that, like, where your friend's next to you and boom, he's gone. And you're like, holy shit, you know, and people are shooting at you and they're shooting at your home and you're going through this life. And then on top of that, you know, you're in the cannabis industry and, excuse me, you're moving, you know, weed or cannabis around, and you have people maybe trying to steal from you or
breaking a lot of guns around you,
breaking your house, period. Breaking your house when you're not home
to steal you.
You know, so when I'm now in my 40s, I don't have any of that stuff going on, but my mind still goes into that mode, like, you know, okay, you know, I have to always be careful, and you know, for me, cannabis isn't the
doesn't work for you that way.
It doesn't work for me
that way.
You know, but yeah. I've heard many veterans and very good people that say, gosh, if I don't have it, I just freak out. For me, I freak out more, you know, when I'm on cannabis.
It's,
I'm like,
it's funny,
oh, God.
Dude, because
oh, God.
I too have signs of it as well, right? Meaning, early on, I figured out, don't come up and scare me, because you come up behind me, hey, boom, like I almost punched my wife once.
Yeah,
I had to tell her, babe, don't, I'm serious. You
yeah.
could, you better announce yourself before you think it's funny to come up behind me, because my reaction is the
elbow.
Punch.
You'll
yeah,
I throw the
and
punch
I go.
Too.
So it's I go and it's what? Why are you like that? I go because I don't like getting fucked. I grew up in an area too, the same way. You
scared,
fucking come up behind
me.
You're gonna get me. Like, what do you mean?
The
don't be fucking getting
here.
Me. You know what I mean? I grew
yeah.
up similar stuff too, and,
yeah.
and I look at that. And I go PTSD status, dude. Just last night, you ready for this? And my wife keeps pointing this out to me more and more. Where tonight or today we had a conversation. She actually said to me today, you might have to go sleep in the other room, because in my dreams and at night, I'm beating people up. Last night, I was trying to fucking push this guy's face down in the ground, and I'm laying there. And mind you, this is the worst part. My daughter came in the room. I didn't push my daughter. Let me just cancel that.
Yeah.
Don't go
don't
there.
Don't start
yeah.
going in your head,
so,
people.
My daughter comes in our room. She had a nightmare, so she's laying in our bed with us. She, thank God, left our room because she goes, it's too hot in here between you guys. Like, get out. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
She gets out. But when she got out, I went back to sleep between 4 and 6. And I remember the dream that I was pushing somebody's head down into the ground, right? So I'm like, what? And mind you, I fought a lot as a kid. I was a bouncer as a kid. I did a lot of things.
You
when you said
ring.
Shooting, father, and I had an apartment downtown San Jose where they're shooting at the apartment at these essays. It just a bunch of shit triggers me as well.
Yeah, different
so,
day
and the, different time, know, right? Yeah. Different, no gang banging, just vibing, but a lot of crazy shit.
But it was around.
It was always around me too. And then the lifestyle I had was crazy. So therefore, when I think of me fighting sometimes and even being a bouncer, I'm doing something to somebody, right? And more times than not, as of recently. To like I said, it's so ironic you say this. I was just sitting there listening to you. My wife said, I think you might have to go sleep in the other room
yeah.
soon if you keep acting like this at
in
night.
In the middle of night, yeah.
And I'm like, last night I was fucking...
So,
and I'm on the bed, dog, pushing the bed down.
So up until 3 years ago, if you would walk in a room and wake me up and be like, hey, Blue or Chris, I would jump up going, what, what's going on?
Are you serious?
Up until like 3 years ago.
Would you shit yourself?
No, but I would definitely jump up and think there was some kind of emergency every time someone woke me up. Anybody woke me up, dude. I mean, Chris Frankino probably knows about it, but I mean,
he's in there chuckling like I remember
yeah,
a story.
Like
I'm sure.
If you wake me up, dude, you know, or it's water. No, but if you wake me up and you know, up until 3 years ago, I would literally jump out of bed and just go, what's going on? What's wrong? You know, and I take that because you know I've been through some. You know, different things that a lot of people haven't done. And so what I've learned to understand that I have PTSD. Not that I could, you know, ever understand what, you know, a Vietnam veteran or a Desert Storm.
Oh, no, I hear what they're going, and I just relate a little bit.
Oh,
like, but
I could I could relate.
Yeah,
like,
and I can only imagine what we go through and what you guys go through, which is even crazier. So the Veterans Day, it's tomorrow. You guys are our heroes.
Well, and not only that, guys, the street festival is going down, guys, and... Please, if you can, if you're in the Long Beach area, come out and join us. And it's going to be at 11/13/2021 from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Long Beach and Pine Street. Guys, between 4th and 6th, the whole downtown area is going to be set up there for you guys. And there's going to be a lot of veterans speaking, discussing, you know, how to help other veterans. And there's a bunch of different groups.
Tons of food, tons of great
shout
things.
Out to Catalyst. I mean, you know, they're going to be, they're helping.
Immersia
and
Blacklist. Yeah.
All these guys putting this thing together, man. It's Cannabis Talk 101. And remember this, if no one else loves you,
we do.
Get off me.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach, Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit TrinitySchool.org for more info now.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.